Welcome to Coochie Conversations, where we give you the real on all things women's health, spirituality, and motherhood. Empowering women to have sovereignty over themselves, we shine light on the disparities that women face daily as divine feminine beings. So steep your favorite tea, roll up your favorite smoke blend, and tune into this week's episode of Coochie Conversations. Peace, y'all. It's your girl, Bianca Pittman, aka your Coochie Captain, giving you a fresh Coochie Conversations episode. Today, we have someone very, very, very special in the building, my cosmic priestess, goddess sis, Talia L'Oreal herself. This has been a long time coming. Talia is a psychic medium, cosmic priestess. She's an artist. She's very well-rounded in her in her gifts. And today we are going to talk about her gifts as well as how do we nurture children with spiritual gifts. With all of us on the platform being parents, me being a new parent, you both being seasoned parents, but all of us having children with gifts, how do we show up for our children and nurture their spiritual gifts in the best way possible that can fortify and help them, guide them through their earthside experience. So Talia, can you please share with us, you know, your insight, you know, how you stumbled upon your gifts, you know, what are your gifts, et cetera.
Right. Well, first and foremost, I'd like to thank you guys for having me on the show, Joanne and Bianca, my fellow goddesses. This is a great topic. I feel like it's not talked about enough. And I feel that it is our duty to start having these conversations because we are shifting into an age, in the age of Aquarius, where a lot of our own spiritual gifts are expanding, but the new babies that are being ushered onto this planet are coming highly, highly evolved, highly spiritual, highly psychic, very gifted creatively. And so it's no coincidence that they are born to certain parents like ourselves, because either we have gifts of our own or we come from a family or they're hereditary or something like that, where maybe we didn't have the support to nurture our gifts. But here we are kind of getting out there as we get older. Well, these children are coming in almost immediately with these gifts. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, for me growing up, I will say that I do come from a family of spiritually gifted people. And I didn't learn that until I was kind of already in my practice as I started to dig more into my ancestry. On my father's side, my great great grandparents were Native American. They were slaves. And one of them was an oracle. She read tarot cards and, you know, was definitely giving people the business back then. Mm-hmm. That's on my dad's side. I thought all the spiritual people were on my mom's side. And then on my mother's side, I come from very, very spiritually, psychically gifted women. And that was channeled into Christianity more so for the most part, where it was like, oh, we're singing, we're directing choirs, we're speaking in tongues, we're, you know, having prophetic dreams. But it was never, it was always cloaked in Christianity. And so I felt like growing up, although I was in a family where certain spiritual things or creepy things were talked about, it wasn't really an environment to nurture, because there was still a lot of trauma being transmuted. There were a lot of addictions. And so for me, it was kind of like I was kind of thrown in for a purpose to kind of transmute that and be the one to kind of break us out of that matrix. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I was spiritually, like, my first spiritual experience was around age 6, which I've told this story, where I drowned pretty much. You know, I was in a pool swimming with my brothers and stepsister at the time. My brother, the oldest, was just 13. We were not supposed to be swimming alone, clearly. And I was just a fearless young child that wanted to swim with the big kids. And I remember wanting to go over there and swim with them, and my toes slipping on the slope and starting to drown and swallow water, and nobody heard me or saw me, and just giving up at that time and just sinking to the bottom of the pool and underwater for an extremely long time period. I'm gonna do my best to summarize this story and not take up too much time, but all that to say, my siblings played for I don't know how much longer, and they noticed I was gone. So they were scared and thinking that I was kidnapped, that I wandered off in the park. So they're walking back to the apartment, trying to come
walking
up
away from the pool.
Well, I'm at the bottom of the pool. They go in. My stepmother's like, "Where's Talia?" They're like, "Oh shit, we thought she was here." You know, so there's this big to do, and so they go out, bamming on doors, screaming for me in the apartment complex. Never once did anybody think that I was at the bottom of that pool. My brother at the time, something made him go back into the pool area. He looked down there. He saw my bathing suit at the very bottom of the pool. He saw that my blue bathing suit that had like yellow stripes on it. Give thanks. And so he dove in and tried to lift me out of the pool, but I was so heavy because I had swallowed so much water. He had to drop me, and they were just screaming for help. And then a nurse, go figure, was able to come out, get me out of the pool, and give me CPR. Now, hindsight, as I'm in the bottom of this pool, I recall feeling like I went to sleep and then waking up, and I could see underwater. I could see the blue. I could see, like, okay, what am I doing? And I saw this glowing yellowish white light in the corner of the pool. I like to attribute it to like a burning bush type of vibe. Like, that's how it appealed to me. And as I'm looking at this light, I just felt this overwhelming sense of calm. And this voice said to me, "Just relax." And it was like, as soon as that voice said that, it was like a warm blanket. I was enveloped in this warm blanket. And maybe within, I don't know, a few seconds, I heard sirens, but I was so scared because I didn't know what was going on. I didn't open my eyes or anything. Then I remember waking up in the hospital a couple days later because I was in like a coma of some sort, or just either whether it was a induced coma or whatever, because they were trying to prevent swelling of my brain and water getting into other areas. Mm-hmm. And so my mom was by my bedside and she immediately starts crying. She's like, "Oh my God, baby, what happened? What happened? Are you okay? Are you okay?" And I proceed to tell her this story at 6 years old, and she busts out crying, calling family members in there, calling people on the phone, crying, retelling the story. And at the same time, I didn't really realize the magnitude of what I was saying. So long story short, after that, things changed. I was seeing things, hearing things. My mother said I used to write. I was writing in cursive shortly after that. I used to write in the ceiling. Like, I was just doing a lot of weird things, quote unquote. was in gifted classes. Would get whisked away like half of the day to go to different classes where I was probably being studied. Fast forward to where I am now. So that's kind of where it started. But I really honestly have always had psychic knowing, but it didn't happen till probably like 2017, 2018. Well, 2018, when my grandmother passed away, the matriarch of our family passed away. And that's when it was like almost like she passed me the baton. And it was like, no turning back, no denying. They were so flat out spot on things that were happening that I was scaring myself. And I was scared to tell people the magnitude of some of the visions and prophecies that I was having that would come to pass. So, yeah. So, I mean, needless to say, I feel like that's why my children were born to me, specifically my 19-year-old. At the age of 22, I had her. And I think for me, that was a part of the maturing. I think that spirit kind of knew what they were doing at the time, giving me a child at that age where it was kind of forcing me to get grounded and like really start to really ground myself, because I didn't really know what I was walking into at this age now that I'm at 41. And then now having Cairo, I was already fully pretty much awakened to my gifts. And so right. I was able to like foster that and be that vessel for her. So yeah, it's extremely important topic. And I think for me, I didn't have a guidebook on that. I didn't have someone to say, okay, well, write down your dreams, or, well, what about this man that's talking to you? I wrote a poem at 11 years old about walking with the man and telling me all these secrets and, you know, all this stuff. And so it was just certain things like that. So it's a duty I feel for myself and mothers like us to really, for one, continue our healing journey and be a safe space for our children to share their gifts, their fears, right. Because being a child, a gifted child, I mean, my daughter, certain noises, my baby, that's two, Cairo, she'll cover her ears and start screaming, or she'll energetically go up to give strangers hugs. Like, she'll want to hug strangers. Like, so it's just like kind of letting these things happen. Yeah.
I saw her at the goddess initiation, and you know, Kiko had passed away the day before.
Oh, and wow.
As soon as she seen me, she ran up to me and she gave me a hug. And like she wouldn't, like she just was kind of like glued to me for a little bit. She kept coming in the room and like looking, and I was like, she can feel it. Like as soon as I saw her, I was like, she can feel it. Like she knows. Like, and she knew I needed that hug too.
It's an indication of it's an indication of their gifts, an extension of their hyper awareness, and how we navigate our gifts and how we pour into the world. And how we share that experience and articulate that experience to our children will give them the isolated viewpoint that this is how you navigate gifts in the world. Not everybody with powers is a superhero, right? There's villains, there's, you know, there's vigilantes. You know, not everybody can use talents and gifts and miracle work as an aid. You know, not everybody has that understanding or that respect for the authority that gave us those things. So it's in my best interest that I'm always expressive. Like, today was a hard day, but I didn't use my powers. You know, like, and I'm joking, but I'm
right.
You know, what it is that each of us possess, because I think that spirit will allow those things to be revealed in sacred spaces. And that's another thing too. I can't be doing everything everywhere because my daughter will see things recklessly. You know, I can't use my gifts with abandon because it looks off a certain way. Like there's a lot of times where I have to re-explain some things to her and like enunciate because she think that this is just how life is. And I'm like, no, that is favor. The lowest and highest position that I serve is as a servant. So you may look at it like I'm gaining favor or I'm gaining opportunities or I'm gaining financial compensation. But that is that comes with discernment. I can't be myself everywhere. And that's hard to teach a teenage girl who just wants to be great, who thinks she can have it all and do everything. And how we discipline ourselves is how, you know, to better reiterate that for our children who have multiple talents. It may not be one thing. And keep teaching them how to be hyper aware with themselves and connected to themselves and source to where if something does develop, they can articulate that. Or they can have the language to tell us or call us or be that source to, like, you know what I mean? For us to be that source to them and support them. Because exactly. Who else better than to guide us? Than, you know, and like, right. In my history, a little bit about genetically, my family were medicine women, and I didn't know until last year when my aunt died. My aunt was the last holder of it; like she was like a key holder of many sorts. And she passed away, and before she passed away, her and I had a very aggressive conversation, and it was very one sided. It was like, this is for you. This is what is going on. And she died 2 days before my birthday. And,
wow.
And her daughter that was caring for her in the season is now stepping in to help me usher my mother into the next phase of her life, whatever that looks like. And everyone is coming to me with such a respect that it's almost overwhelming. And I didn't know I had become an elder until my daughter was in a personal situation where she made all the wrong decisions and how I handled her so gracefully. And it was a shit show. It was catastrophic. Her fuck up was catastrophic. And how I handled her with grace and everybody around me, it was like, this is why you're supposed to be the one to do certain things. My mother died 2 times on the way to the hospital about a month and a half ago. And I was completely fine. I was unmoved. I was unfazed. I was still by her side. And I helped them resuscitate her. I know what's going to happen. I'm the only one in my family that knows what's going to happen. I'm the only one that feels it, and it's so lonely sometimes. But I do have South because my daughter gets it, and she knows how I handle my gifts, so she's there to support me in certain ways. And every now and then, she just texts me randomly, Grandma's going to be fine. Or, like, you know, an update before I get a medical verification. And I think that us being there for each other like that and having those any conversations is a way to support her, let her know that there's a collective that understands. It's not just me, it's extended to my friends and my family who get it. Like, just now, she's always worried about me, especially lately because of a lot going on in my mind. So I always let her say hi to Bianca because she knows, as long as, you know what I mean? Like, oh, you know, because she always wants to know, like, I'm in fellowship, you know, like, who am I talking to today? Like, who am I talking to today? So I'm going to say hi to Bianca. And she had a piece about her just now. She's like, all right. You know, because, you know, like, I'm in good company. And I think that us as healers, we just want to know that even though we're not here for each other, you have somebody to lean on. And that's the best thing we can give our children, is that the gift of community.
Right. Mm-hmm. I resonate with the, being that kind of like that transition doula or like the death doula, because my grandmother, the matriarch, that pretty much I feel passed the baton, even though she was definitely heavily Christian. But I used to wake up to her in the middle of the night because we lived with her, as we all probably did at some point in our lives, live with our grandmother. And I remember always catching her in the kitchen talking to herself. Like, she would be cleaning up and she would be like mumbling and talking to herself, never throughout the day. And the first time I heard it, it scared me a little bit. But then as I started hearing, like, she's not talking to herself. She's talking to spirit, God, maybe, you know, passed on loved ones. And so during her last 11 days of her life, I had just released a short film that was it's so crazy how spirit lined it up. And from that night, I went down to Evansville, drove down because we already kind of knew what was happening. And all the women in our family, you know, the seers, the mystics, the oracles, just surrounded her in my aunt's home. And she was in hospice and we cared for her those last 11 days. But it was like, I was the only one that had that, like, that close nurturing. Like, I washed her hair, I did her hands, I did her feet. I took her to her house and had her going through old items. I had videos of her, like, this is the last few days of her life. Like, and I felt like I was there because my mom and her sisters needed to grieve. Like, they needed to have a moment to just cry it out and understand their mother was transitioning. Mm-hmm. But it was tough for me. But I felt like this is my role. It was like an initiation. And then I remember, like, she was going to her retirement party. She died 3 days after her retirement party, but you would have guessed it. She was in a wheelchair, but I remember doing her makeup. I put her on her lashes and stuff. And she's like, yeah, Talia, you know, I want you to do that when I transition. I want you to do my makeup. And I'm like, how could I say no, right? And I was like, oh, tutu. And I was like, and I kind of brushed off. I was like, you know, I got you. But in deep inside, I'm like, oh my God. But I did it. Like, I did her whole makeup, her lashes. She's like, I want you to put lashes on me. This is the color. And I beat her face, honey, where people thought, like, she was just sleeping, you know what I mean? And never, if you would have asked me that before my awakening into my spiritual gifts, if I would have had the strength, I would have been scared. I would be like, hell no, like, no. And it was just so much pride and grace to kind of assist her.
You were honored.
Yeah, it was an honor. And it was like I said, it was like a spiritual baton she passed me as the matriarch to say, no, death is not the end. I have a video of her reading a poem to me. She could barely talk because she was dying, but she was reading the poem and it was about approaching death like a long slumber. Like, she was so graceful in her transition. And I'm like, that's how it's supposed to be. Like, because we know, like, she knows there is no end. It's right. Just another realm. And so that in itself, for all of us to have these moments where we're, whether it's with an animal, you know what I'm saying, your animal or a relative or whatever, like, there is a rites of passage that we are strong enough to uphold and be there to be that grounding force. And it's no mistake that, you know, it happens that way. You know, that nobody forced me, or it was just how it ended up. And I would keep her company and talk to her and lay in the bed with her. Like, it was just like what it was. And it, like, it makes me, like, so honored, but then it makes me sad to think about it. Like, damn, I was really there. Like, right. So, you know, just keeping up those traditions and looking at it, how such, it's such a blessing to be able to do that in the order that it happened.
What a privilege. What a privilege.
Everybody should be able to
play a
do
part
that.
In somebody's from, transcendence. Like,
yeah. Like, to be there honor. In a company when she passed away, we were singing to her. I seen her spirit leave her body, a bright white light. There was a cat outside in the tree, outside her window. It was like so magical. And it's like, damn, like, this is how it needs to be. Like, and that's the grace. Although, like, that's the blessing of my family. Although there's trauma, there's addictions, it's like death comes in alignment with my family. We ain't never tragically lost nobody. And I'm speaking that over my bloodline. And that's why I'm doing the healing work, because that's how everybody should transition. You know what I'm saying? From how it's supposed to, you know what I mean? And, so I think that's why it's important for us to, like I said, really nurture our children and really give them that space of growth and grace and discernment. Like you said too, Joanne, about no one went, because we can't help it. We're going to shine our lights where people are going to navigate towards the light, whether we have a sign on our forehead to say I'm a healer or not. People are going to feel the energy, but also knowing when it's your time to speak or time to take that forefront, and knowing when it's time to be an observer and not jump to conclusions and use discernment and not judgment. And so I think as we go through these initiations as parents, they're just preparing the way for our children to be able to step up when it's their time to take the forefront and the leadership roles. And we are on our golden years going into our senior years. You know what I mean? So it's just those type of energies that, you know, I feel like heavy is the head that wears the crown, but it's so much joy and beauty that comes with it, and privilege and grace. And like you said, favor. And I don't take that lightly. So.
And I have to say, even in this transition, sorry, Bianca, even in this transition right now, my mom has not gone earthside. She's just transitioning into the next phase of her healing journey. I'm going to say that much. And I have never had more peace. I have never been closer to God. I have never been closer to source, but I've never been happier in like internal happiness. And I think that that's something that my mother gave to me.
Yes.
And I think that that peace is what transcends all understanding. And that's why we were tasked to be the new elders. That's why we're the ancestors in training. Because mm-hmm. it's not our capacity. It's not our character. It's how we use the equipment.
Right. How we use our tools, how we navigate. You know, speaking of children with spiritual gifts, Talia told me last year on 11/11 that we'll be having a child. And I just looked at her like, girl, you're right. Because, you know, if you know my story, I've never been able to conceive. And that's been a part of my journey. And I've, you know, got real comfortable with just my gifts being helping other women with their fertility naturally. Right. And, you know, I was like, you know, if I can't have children, I'm fine with helping other women have children. These are my babies too, type of thing. And, you know, right. she told me I was going to get pregnant. I'm like, yeah, okay. And I literally got pregnant probably almost 11 days later.
wow.
And, you know, prior to that, I also used my goddess oracle deck a lot. And I kept getting the joy card. The joy card kept coming up. And when I'd never really correlated that on the joy card in that deck, it's a woman breastfeeding her baby.
Oh, wow. And it is.
It's a woman breastfeeding her baby, and her nails are blue. And, you know, she has this, she's like the earth mother. And, you know, I call myself divine mother. And she has like this earthly afro, and he basically kept telling me he was coming, and I just wasn't paying attention. And then it was the joy card that I kept pulling, and miracles, the miracle card. It was the miracle card first. I pulled the miracle card for a good 7 weeks straight, probably. Every time I would do my goddess pull was a miracle card. And I'm like, and I was at the time I was doing my goddess pull on Instagram, and I'm like, well, what the miracle, like how many times can I keep telling y'all it's gonna be a miracle here? Like, what is the miracle?
And you had a tone that day, every day, miracles again,
miracles again. Like,
we're pulling the miracle.
Whatever Devin was basically saying, like, I'm the miracle, you know. And then, yeah. you know, I've gotten readings from you, and you've told me, like, you know, he's going to be a seer, and he's going to have some spiritual gifts that you have to help him nurture. And he was very connected to me way before I even knew, just talking to me through the cards, you know. Now he's here, and first thing everybody says about him when they look at him, oh my god, look at how alert he is, look at his eyes, he can see. I know he can see, like, look up.
He's like, you talking about me, mama? You rang.
Seven.
Hi. So,
there's a confirmation he can see.
Yes.
He's very much here to do some amazing things. And, you know, I'm very honored to have been chosen to guide him on Earth side. And just, you know, I really wanted a girl at first. And I didn't realize that he was telling me he was a boy from the cards, from the journal that I had. Like, I'm in January, and I journaled my pregnancy, and now I'm journaling like my postpartum period. But the journal, I found it in my old bedroom in New Jersey. It was a journal that's never been used before. It was blue and it had a P on it. And I said, okay, P for pregnancy. I looked at the first entry that I put in the journal and said, I don't know if you're a boy or a girl yet, blah, 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 blah. But in hindsight, he had been telling me that he was a boy. The P standing for penis on the journal, and the journal was blue, you know? And so, like, it's like, Ma, I've been telling you, like, what I'm going to be. And then, you know, I feel like spirit gives you what you need, not what you want at that time.
Yeah.
Yesterday, I was thinking of the phase that I'm in with losing Kiko. I can't imagine losing Kiko and not having Seven right now. Even if I had a little girl, it wouldn't be the same.
Yeah.
Spirit gave me a boy because he knew that my boy was leaving. Seven?
Wow. Yes. So, it's so beautiful how
when things come full circle, when you can look full at circle.
And our intuition, like we see that, like we're intuitively doing it. Like you said, the P on the journal, choosing buying the blue journal, like all that stuff is your intuition, your psychic leading you before your mental
and
brain.
I don't know where that journal came from. It was at the bottom of my closet in New Jersey. Never been used before. I'd never seen it before. And I'm like, okay, well, I guess it's my pregnancy journal. I got a P on it. And it's like, no, it's a penis. I'm a boy. Right?
Wow. I love that the more that we honor ourselves and show up in our fullness, it just fosters a way for our children to know that there's maturation within gifts. It's not just a one-off. It's a journey of spiritual marrying.
I also come from a lineage of of medicine women and men on my grandfather's side. My grandfather, my mom's dad is from Montserrat. And my mom used to read cards and stuff, but she was a little more in the darker realms with her magic. And she pulled away. And, you know, when you have a child, they're like your 2.0 version of you. So it's like I came through and I'm very much more light with my gifts. And, you know, I'm into numerology. I'm into astrology. I'm into everything that she was into as a child. And she's like, wow, like you really... You're me, but you're like a higher version of me and a lighter version of me. Mm-hmm. And
the second coming. Yeah. I know. I don't know if anybody's Christian in this space, but like a lot of the medicine work that my family did and the healing work that they did was cloaked and masked in Christianity.
Yeah,
and
for sure.
It was cloaked and masked
because
in
that's what hoodoo is cloaked in masks.
All the motherboards with the all white, those are the hoodoo queens. I'm telling you,
right?
That's the whole bloodline. So it was interesting when I came into it, and not only was I welcome, but like the way I was welcome and the way I came into understanding it. It's the best way to reiterate to my daughter. Like the Bible says, like when Jesus came, he was like, I'm the second coming, but there's someone greater coming behind me. And he was talking about his cousin John, because Jesus is Jesus. He's the son of God, right? Whatever, allegedly, whatever. But he was saying that there's someone coming behind me that's greater than me. And that was John the Baptist, because he was actually laying hands and baptizing people. So Jesus didn't even equate his power to his cousin. He was saying like, yes, I'm great in my own respective right, but there's going to be someone coming behind me that's greater.
Right. And as we are portals, are portals to bring forth, the you know, the queen. Higher versions of ourselves.
Absolutely. I completely resonate with that. And I take that with me because like, yes, I can be great. I can flourish in my greatness, but there's one coming behind me that is greater than me. Mm-hmm. And it's my duty to prepare not only the world, but her arrival.
Yeah, and for
each
me,
each generation is more enlightened. Each generation is more that your bloodline has the chance to be more and more enlightened, not smarter, not wiser, just enlightened when it comes to their recognition of their sovereignty and their holiness. And to me, like the Bible is like a grimoire. Like to me, it's like any other spiritual book that you read. You know what I mean? With spells and stories of magic and miracles, like. It's so many. And so that's why I always say, sure, read the Bible, whatever resonates with you. It just comes down to, I'm not going to shame my child. I'm not going to condemn them.
Right.
If they choose to think a certain way or be a certain way or love a certain way, like that's not the God that I know and serve. He's not doing that. If you read the Bible, Jesus would love hanging with the prostitutes and the thieves. Like he was down there.
Jesus was with the shits.
Yeah, exactly. Don't be trying to paint. No, you know what I mean? God to be all pure and holier than thou with their nose stuck up looking down at people. That's not what we're going to do. And that's where I started to separate from the church that I grew up in. And for a long time held a sort of bitterness and resentment from church because I saw how they treated my sister who was gay, who was born gay for as long as I know, because that's my sister. I live with her. So I knew from early on she was gay. And so how they just blackballed her and made her seem like she was touching children because she was just gay. Like, it was so crazy, y'all. And I was like, this is not what I'm looking forward to. But then, like, you know, Bianca, going to church is like Agape Spiritual Center, and not even a church, mm-hmm. but spiritual center, where mm-hmm. it's like, mm-hmm. we're all fellowshipping. I love the fellowship, the community, the song of just like-minded people. That's really what, quote unquote, church is supposed to be. But when we get into
you can have church anywhere. We could be outside in the grass. We don't have to be.
We have church down here every mystical mixer for all
I was just about to say that. We'd be all up in the Airbnb having church. Like, you know, and for me, like my mom grew up confused. She grew up, my grandma was Protestant. My grandfather was Muslim. So she would like be in the church, be at the temple. She would wear a hijab. Like, she was like, you know what, like, when I have children, I'm not going to force anything on them. I'm gonna just let them figure it out themselves. Right. So my dad was Italian, he was Catholic, so I grew up going to the church, the mosque, and a Catholic church, like Baptist church, Catholic church, and a Muslim temple. So I was very well rounded in religions. And then, you know, as Sagittarius, we just like to know shit, and we just you know so I'm just very much spiritual. I got baptized in 2011, not because I wanted to, kind of was just like pushed into it. Like, I was picked up. They had a white outfit in the back seat, like, put this on, like, brought to the church, all that shit.
Yeah.
And I went to the church for a while. And that, honestly, that pastor was it was an apostolic church. So I learned about speaking in tongues and all that. They kind of condemned me or shunned me because I didn't speak in tongues in their time frame. So it's like, oh, you've been baptized for this amount of time. You ain't speaking tongues yet. Like, what are you doing? Like, as if I was at home doing
something.
Yeah, no, I used to laugh too. Like, what are y'all talking about? Like, so, but that was the only pastor that ever, like, if I was in a bind, he would actually give me money if I needed something. Like, oh, you need groceries? Here's $50. I never came across a pastor that, you know, y'all take y'all tithes and shit all the time, but when somebody's in need, I've never come across a pastor that's willing to actually help you. So I did him in that frame, but they were very judgmental. You could not talk about astrology. You couldn't talk about homosexuality. You couldn't, you know, you were all these things if you believed in astrology or if you were gay. And that's what turned me off from the church.
Yeah, but you okay with having the gay choir directors and organ players as long as they don't say nothing?
Yes, and I know so many churches like that.
Yeah,
especially Baptist. Baptist.
I actually grew up in the Christian church, and up until a few years ago, up until quite recently, the recent years, I just stopped not only attending but stopped serving. The church is bigger than the four corners to me, and you know, I ran myself ragged doing youth group, youth pastor, young adults, women's ministry. Like, I just want to saturate everybody with love. And I thought that the way that I serve was a physical manifestation of how God like pours into me. And I realized that it created an air of competition. It created an air of disdain. And I knew that I was irritating people when I came into a space because I was aggravating demons, because things were unsettled until I got there. You know what I'm saying? I'm coming into a space, I'm mopping, I'm sweeping, left for the glory of the Lord. And I realized that I cannot be contained, and the way I love people is a ministry within itself. And I had to step out of the confines of the church and explore that. So Christianity tethers me, but I explore other things. I'm very much.
Right. You know, like speaking of, you know, nurturing your child with spiritual gifts, like my mom gave me my first deck of tarot cards, you know, and she's a very firm believer. I don't know if this is still the rule, but like, your first deck needs to be gifted to you.
And I've heard that.
You know,
so Mom was gifted to me. Yeah.
She gave me the Rider-Waite deck, and she's like, you know, have at it. And she's like, you know, I know you was in the Christian church. I know you was doing this. She was like, but I've never seen you've been blessed the way you've been blessed until you took your own path. Like, you know, and people can say a lot about not being in church or whatever. She was like, but you are a proven example that, you know, your blessings didn't start to come through until you started to figure out your own align, you know, what you aligned with spiritually. And it's true. Like, You know, yeah. I'll never force any type of religion onto Seven. If he, whatever he wants to do, he can do. But he just knows that he's supported in whatever, you know, whatever he decides. So I think that we are all doing our, you know, due diligence as moms, just holding space. Cause I know Cairo, you could look at Cairo and you know she's not from here. Like, she speaks very much light language, you know, she's just very much here to be a part of, you know, pushing the narrative of what's to come, I feel like, as far as like.
Yeah, shifting ages. She's inspired me to want to get deeper into light language myself. Trying to understand her and her talking and really reading a few words now at this point. And I'm just like, okay, she's taught me so much. I mean, both of my children definitely have taught me a lot of patience. And but Cairo has taught me so much more in a sense of like seeing the spirituality in a child that young. When I have Zaya, like I was still very much in Christianity church. But now since I've evolved and seeing Cairo and seeing like how I need to nurture her, even down to the foods that I give her, what I let her listen to, like what's aligning with her, you know, her frequency, her energy, giving her time tips. You need to have a tantrum, go outside, get the tantrum out, cry it out. I'm not going to tell you to shut up and stop crying because that's how a lot of us, you know what I mean? Like that's not a healthy way.
I'm not going to let you hurt yourself or anybody else. We're teaching them how to suppress their feelings. And then when they get older, they don't know how to talk about, you know, how they're feeling. So it's like, you know, we come up in a space where it's like, oh, stop crying before I give you something to cry about. I hate that shit. It like boils my blood. And then it's like with me, it's like, oh, you're always holding him. You put him down. Like you're going to get him spoiled. I'm like, the only thing that spoils is milk. Like number one. And number two, I said, you know, we sit here and we try to detach from our children so much. Oh, put him in the bassinet, let him sleep by himself and all that stuff. But you know, when in the wild as like wolves and shit like that, they sleep together. Everybody co-sleeps, you know? And it's like, we teach our kids how to be detached by just leaving them.
And now I understand why, you know, I felt the way that I did about, you know, my children and sleeping with them and knowing, like, even, you know, when I'm away from them and I'm thinking about them sleeping and how I'm missing their presence when I'm sleeping. Right now, my daughter's visit from college, all of us in the bed together, me, both my daughters in the bed, barely in a room, but we just, I want my children close to me, you know?
Right.
Yeah, just pretty much trying to cut us off from that psychic connection, that spiritual connection with our children. That's why they pry them from our hands in the hospital. We don't even get a chance to hold them with the umbilical cord for 2 seconds before they cutting it, taking them over there, they crying. Like, it's just so much. And it's like, no.
You put them in school for 8 hours out the day. You know, you got to go to work or whatever. It's like all of it is just, it's disconnect. It's a bunch of disconnect.
And I think it's dangerous because it's so mainstream. Like, I'm very attached to my daughter. And me and my mom are very close. We're so close, it's annoying. Like, she went on a week vacation.
Every day
I would come, Bianca, I had a tear in my eye talking to my mama. Like, I packed her clothes. She gone for a week. My mama. So, like, you know, her being, like, not home for a month and a half has not only been crazy for the dynamic of the house, but crazy for me. Like, who make my coffee in the morning?
Yeah.
Like, you know how much stuff be going on? I gotta text her. Like, the only good thing about her not being home is that she don't have access to my man because she'll be obsessed with him. She would be wanting to feed him. She'll be wanting to feed him. Like, she could not wait to get in the same space as him. So, like, I'm glad that they're separated. But that's probably the only benefit of her being in the hospital is that she's not, like, you know, overexerting herself or, you know, doing the things that she loves to do. She sprinkled magic everywhere she went. And that's one of my biggest flexes, that I'm my mother's daughter. And I think that if I could take away anything from that, if I could encourage my daughter in any way, it's like, I'm your friend. I don't know what society said. I'm your sister in this fight in life. I'm your friend. And above all, I'm your guide. So respect me as such. And I'm here no matter what. In all ways, always.
Ashe, I love it.
And, you know, I think for me, Seven is very much attached to me because it took him, because you said something about, like, you know, cutting umbilical cord real quick and taking the baby away. You know, I had him at home.
Right.
And my placenta didn't come out for almost 2 hours.
I remember that.
We were stuck together for, you know, extended period of time. And it didn't feel, you know, rushed. It didn't, or like it was taking too long. It felt divine, even though it was very extensive. And then we kept the umbilical cord attached. So I really feel like, you know, even as parents, we do have that invisible umbilical cord to our children, and we're always connected to them. But I just feel like Seven is just a little more connected.
Just because
of how he came into the world. But I really did enjoy this conversation.
It was so beautiful and enlightening, and I think we're all doing it right, you know. And
what a privilege!
All we can do is just continue to spread awareness, you know, to other mothers birthing these new, you know, spiritually gifted children, star seeds, into this realm, because they're gonna keep coming. 2029, probably. You know, maybe it'll slow down after that, but. You know, they're going to be the ones anchoring in these new codes and these new, you know, ways of being and living and emerging the ancient future. You know what I mean? It's the ancient future that they're anchoring in. So, you know, definitely so grateful to be a part of this conversation. And
we are so grateful that it finally aligned to have you on.
Yes.
You know, Talia has a lot going on. Can you give us, you know, your rundown, how to stay connected to you, what you got going on?
Yes, so of course, you know, Instagram handle Talia Lorie L, TahliaLoreal. And my Instagram link, you'll see all my Linktree bios and how to stay in touch with me. I do offer private client sessions on a case-by-case basis. I do home visits depending on what's going on. I'm currently on tour with the artist Free Soul as his priestess and host of the show. Getting the vibes together, creating the magic and letting people see the magic up front and in people's face, you know, the gifts that, you know, people don't see on a regular basis. So activating all these spaces across the country before they receive Free's high vibrational music. And so that's what I'm doing now. But, you know, more to come. I definitely will be bringing back the mixers. I am contemplating doing an event on 111 because it is a new moon, I believe. That's something that is still in the works. Still waiting for one more confirmation from Spirit before I press play on that. But of course, you know, you guys will be some of the first to know if that is the case.
Yes. Thank you so much, Talia. We love you so much. This was such a divine conversation.
It was very fortifying. We
all enjoyed it today.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it was really good.
And thank you, Joanne. Thank you for your grace and sharing your energy as well. Yes. So grateful for both of you goddesses, and look forward to hearing this conversation. Definitely send me any promotional material or whatever so I can share with my audience.
Of course. I can't wait to meet you in person. I'll be in California. I'm going to come up
there. Yes, definitely.
I'm going to get over it.
Thank you so much, Talia, for your time today.
Thank you all
for tuning in to the Coochie Conversations today. We hope that you enjoyed this week's episode, and we will see you next week.
All right. Bye, ladies. Bye. Love y'all. Peace.
Love you.